It is a couple of small things that I wanted to say about this morning. About 8 months ago, I changed job. I used to work near Hayward Heath, and I've been there for 10 years, and I loved it. They were fantastic people, but I wanted to be closer because I couldn't invite people to things. I couldn't communicate anything about how the church was, or there was no context because it was too far away. They all knew I was a Christian, mocked me relentlessly, but it was good fun, actually. But I didn't mind. When I came to leave, it was going to be really hard because I knew that I felt like I'd be letting them down by leaving, because there wasn't anybody else who could do what I did in the office. It had to be someone else coming in. So I was really worried to the point of thinking, can I leave? Because I will be just failing them. And so I applied for a couple of jobs and actually applied for one down the road from here, which was amazing because it was similar place, you know, in a sawmill, so same sort of thing. Full-time, which would be a challenge, but we needed that finance at the time. So that was another positive. So we were due to go on holiday in between the interview and then finding out. So I was getting people to pray that I would know before I went on holiday so we could actually enjoy it, because it was going to be really hard otherwise. On the Thursday, my boss was talking to me and she suddenly just went away. And I thought, that's a bit odd. But she was always getting a bit distracted, so I didn't think much of it. I heard the end of that day that I got the job. Went in the next morning and told my boss, and he said, that's fine. No problem at all, which was great. I was really, really surprised. And they were very positive because I could understand the reasons why. When the other boss came in, she said, I knew this would happen. Yesterday, when I was standing beside you, I suddenly felt God say to me, because she was a Christian as well, Sam won't be here for much longer. And she'd gone home that night and spoken to Daniel, my boss, and said, Sam won't be here much longer. And he went, no, never. So she was convincing him that that was going to happen. So when I said it the next day, completely calm, she was fantastic. And I left there so well. I left supported. I could go on holiday, had a fantastic holiday, because I could just relax. So that was one thing where God just a little bit that was my main worry, God just took it away. I went to work down the road, and the job was a challenge. It was for a season. And I got to the end of that season and thought, you know what? This has been right for now. I've made some fantastic friends. And I know many more people around this area now. But it's time to move on. Didn't know what to do. And John and I were praying that what would fit well in terms of what we needed generally as a family. Financially, it was of benefit. Time-wise, it was rubbish. So I looked for another job, and I saw a postwoman in Storrington, actually, 25 hours, and I thought, it's a bit low, can't really go 25 hours, and the distance is a bit difficult. I'd actually like to be outside. So we're generally praying and then thinking, is this the right thing to do? Is it the right place to leave? And that job just disappeared. I thought, okay, it's fine, not to worry about it. About 3 weeks later, the same job came up, but in Hazelmere, so just up the road, for 30 hours, which is what I needed. And so I went for it and got it. When I left my last job, they were, again, incredibly supportive. And I feel like I've made friends, I've left well, and God's been with me at every single point, in the big things and the small things. And it's been quite a journey this last year with challenges, various challenges. But it's in the little things I felt God's been there the whole time.
Brilliant. Give Sam a hand. Ooh. See, I thought thought that was really encouraging, Sam. And obviously, I've seen you kind of going through some of this stuff, not knowing all that's been going on. But what I would testify myself is that Sam's calmness that she said then was the same as what I saw. And I think looking back at that verse, there's a confidence, isn't there, that God works for good for those who love Him. And so even when things didn't look like they were working out right, you know, there was just this sense of it'll be okay. I think over time, Sam learned to trust God that actually when things are starting to get rocky and aren't quite working out how we plan, that actually this is part of His plan for us. So I want you to hear those things, because I think that's often the challenge, isn't it? Especially when you're a new Christian and you're trying to work these things out. When the road gets a bit rocky, you start to panic, and you've got really over time, what we realise is that yes, He does work these things out. And when something that we want doesn't quite come about, it's because He's got something better for us. So, fantastic. Thanks, Sam. So, next up is Sue Dyer, and she's just come out of our kids' group. Give her a hand.
We've been concerned about a situation for one of our family members. And the whole family had been praying. But on August the 23rd last year, one of my sisters rang me up to say that she'd had a dream that was about this family member who was on a path leading to a precipice, but that there was also a safe way off it. Whether this is to be passed on to the person concerned or not, my sister didn't know, but she's been incredibly right in what she's passed on to us. So I was just praying, Lord, what should I do? Should we say anything past this picture on as a warning, or was it just to inspire us to pray? And at that point, I received a text from her twin. And this text was in her daily reading. And she said, I believe God wants you to have this. And it was literally within a really short space of time of getting the phone call and the text. And it was a story of Jehoshaphat, who was terrified by the armies amassing against him and his people. He cried out to God, we do not know what to do, but we're looking to you for help. And that's exactly what I was doing. And then the Spirit came upon Jehaziel, and he said, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Take up your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be able to stand. And in the story, as people began to sing and praise God, God won the battle. We knew that when we received this text, that this was from God. You feel it inside, you know. Sorry, I've written this badly. And so we just knew that we had to trust him to sort out the situation. And so far, we've seen indications that maybe things are changing, but we don't know for sure. And God's just saying, trust me. Well, God reminded me of this last weekend, because I was about to take sparklers. And for some reason, I just could not get my head around what I was going to teach and what and how the story would impact the little ones. And I worried all Saturday night. And I got up in the morning and I was still worrying how it was going to go. And there was a little boy there too who's going to be without his parents for the first time, and I didn't know how he'd settle. And then when I got to, little Ember was there, and she settled into the group. And she was such a blessing. I was amazed. She really was such a blessing to me. Anyway, I got in sparklers, and sparklers went like a dream. And I got up that morning and I sat down with God to have a quiet time with him. And as I opened my Bible, the on the notes, the word at the top was exactly this verse. Stand still. This battle is the Lord's, not yours. And we had a wonderful morning. It was just amazing. The children really entered into the spirit of it. And I believe God gave me that experience to know that the other experience God had his hand on, and he was just reminding me, don't lose your sight of where you're going. I've got this in control. I've been this year, when I've been worried, I've got up out of bed and I've gone downstairs rather than be restless. And I've spent time with God. And God's met with me, with the Bible, every single time with what I needed. It was just amazing. And I'd go back to bed and then sleep. Why I didn't on Saturday night get up and read, because this was the message that God had for me, and I had to wait till the morning because I didn't get up in the night. And if I had, I would have rested peacefully. And I just want to encourage you. This is something you haven't got the answer to yet, but God's got it in his hands. He knows what he's doing. And it was such a blessing to me.
She spends time with God. She gets into her Bible. And I just want to encourage you, you know, if you're going through a tough time, even if you're not, you know, getting into the Word of God, getting into the Bible, reading what God says to us through that. So often he speaks to us in that way. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, why doesn't God ever speak to me? And I'll just say, are you reading your Bible? Are you getting it open every day? Are you asking God to speak through the pages of it? And sometimes we can read the Old Testament, you can hear these stories of battles and things like that, but and you can think, what's all that about? But actually, so often what happened in the Old Testament physically is re-represented in the New Testament spiritually. And so when we're going through a battle, actually those Old Testament battles, that was the people of God. That was how God intervened. And yet for us now, we have these spiritual battles, don't we, that we face. And we're not out in physical war. Some people are, but for most of us, that's not the case. But actually, the spiritual battles are just as important and real. And so the weapons that Sue uses to have that faith and that determination and that trust in God is that she spends time with God in his word, reading the Bible, seeing what God would say. And so I just encourage you, again, make a commitment to say, do you know what, I'm just going to get the Bible out and read a verse every day or a chapter. And it will transform your life and your faith. So next up, we've got Humphrey Stevenson. So Humphrey, are you over here? Give him a hand.
I don't know how to use these, but in November 2017, I went for a routine eye test in Chichester. They diagnosed me with a cataract in my right eye, so they referred me to the eye department at St. Richard's, turned up in February. The first thing they said was, oh, you've got a cataract in your left eye. It's not as bad as the right eye, but you've got cataracts and you need operations. Then they said, oh, because of the waiting list, we won't be able to see you until...
Just hold it against your chest.
Oh, sorry, not coming through. They said, we won't be able to operate until the autumn, maybe September, October. It was a bit of a letdown. Well, you know those little boxes in the What's On where you can get prayer? I just put it in a prayer. Please get them to bring forward the operation. Next thing I knew, at the end of May, My first operation was for the middle of June, and that was brilliant. Of course, it left me with a bit of a problem. I couldn't drive. I had perfect vision in one eye without glasses, and one perfect vision with glasses. And so I couldn't drive. And as I'm my wife's main carer, taking her to her appointments, left us with a bit of a problem. I was a bit frustrated about this, and I guess I put in a second prayer for a quick operation for the second eye. Anyway, Marion encouraged me to phone them up, and I phoned them up. This was towards the end of August on a Tuesday. They said, "Oh, we're sorry, Mr. Stevenson. We won't be able to operate until the beginning of 2019. So we were very frustrated by that. Prayed. Next morning, they said, "Oh, we've had a cancellation. Can you come in tomorrow?" And this is just how God operates. No pun intended. So I had the second operation. After a couple of weeks, they said, "Oh, you're fine. I still need glasses to read, but I don't need glasses for long sight, which I've worn since I was a boy." Matthew 10, verses 6 and 7. Jesus says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? Not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are still all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows." I once heard a preacher say, "Of all the bits of information about us, that's probably the most useless. But it means that God has everything in hand. Even the very hairs of our head are numbered, but everything more important, everything that you face, every challenge that you face, he knows about. He'll never get away for you through it."
Excellent. Thank you, Humphrey. That's really encouraging. And so pray. Fill in that little box as well and get us praying for you as a church. Next up is Adam DeSwart. Let's give him a hand.
My testimony starts with meeting Francis. So we've met the start of last year, and she taught me a lot so far. Hopefully I'll teach her a bit as well. Basically what happened was, from the start I came to this church, I just felt at home, and I just knew this is where I want to be. And I know Francis feels the same as well. But work-wise, it's quite difficult finding a job in this area, especially if you're working from a visa. So most visas is companies that do sponsored visas is in London. So for me it was quite difficult, and I did try to find some jobs around, but the recruiter told me it's not really possible. So anyway, we prayed about it. I applied for one job that I thought it might be a little bit easier. It's closer to Waterloo where the train would stop, so I thought at least I will save 10 minutes, whatever. Anyway, we prayed about it. I went for the interview. I thought it went well. I didn't get a job. I was a little bit disappointed, but I think we prayed more, and I think I just knew that God's probably have something better for me. And then we've got an internal email a couple of weeks or months later. I can't remember the exact date. And there was a position in Southampton, and I thought that's great. That's a little bit closer. We'll save even 20 minutes more, whatever. And I went for the interview, it went well, and they told me there's a position actually in Winchester. We seconded to Winchester, and everything just worked, and I went to Winchester. So it's only 50 minutes drive for me, and it's a great place, and it's just everything worked out perfectly. And just God has been providing for me in every area. Like Kay and Julie is giving me a place to stay till our wedding. So everything is just working out perfectly.
Great. Thanks, Adam. It's been really good getting to know Francis and Adam, actually. They are getting married in April, and Adam's been coming over from sort of Orpington, you know, every weekend, and he's so dedicated to the church. Is that why you came every weekend? Oh, to see Francis, yeah. But no, it's been brilliant. They've really been getting stuck in, doing a great job with Energize. And I know Adam really appreciated all the prayers of this church, didn't he, with all those situations. And again, it was a case of saying, church, will you pray for me? Will you get behind me with this? And just seeing God unlock doors. And so I just want to encourage you, don't ever think that anything is silly. Don't ever think you can't ask us to pray for a particular thing. If it means something to you, then let's pray for it. You know, we've been talking about that over these last couple of weeks. So just encourage you, because it is easy, isn't it, to think, I'll work it out myself. And if it gets really bad, then I'll get people to pray. Let's be the kind of people that pray first and see what God will do. So next up, we have Brenda. So give Brenda a big hand.
I'm nervous, so I'm going to read what I've written. Many of you already know that Trev was in hospital in Brighton in 2017 for a routine operation that went very wrong. How he was only meant to be over here for approximately 2 weeks. He had become a Christian just a month or so before he left the Falklands and was a very new child of Christ. The operation was only supposed to take a maximum of 4 hours. 7 hours later, we were still waiting for a phone call. So we're sitting at home, worried and feeling greatly concerned. We later found out that he had had a major bleed out due to his aorta rupturing in several places. The clamping that had to be done to restrict the flow of blood resulted in both his kidneys failing and a large section of his bowel dying. While Trev lay in ICU on life support and round-the-clock dialysis, I was in need of physical support from my friends and family. Trev's family were and still are wonderful, helpful and loving, but they're not my family. The messages and prayers I got on my computer from all our friends around the world were a wonderful encouragement to me, and I knew they were praying too. Several weeks went by and still Trev was not responding to stimulants, and his body was beginning to shut down. He was losing weight so fast that daily we could see his deterioration, and we were told to be prepared for the worst. I was praying for healing for Trev, but also for strength for myself. But it seemed that the prayers were not being answered as Trev continued to waste away. One bright thing was that he was finally able to breathe for himself, and so came off life support. But he wasn't waking up, and new fears of a coma sprang to life. No one had any idea if there'd been any brain damage caused. The constant dialysis continued. To further support my fear that he would not make it through unscathed was because his left foot was turning black due to pressure sores. And the consultants, when asked, said that if the areas became wet, then that was a sign of gangrene. Within a couple of weeks, they told us that they might have to consider amputation. At this time, I became so angry at the Lord. I wanted to scream and shout at him for not answering our prayers. A Christian friend suggested that I should take my anger and go to the beach, find some stones, and while screaming and shouting to or at the Lord, throw the stones as far into the ocean as I could. The day I picked to drive to the coast, it was so wet, wild and windy, it suited my moods perfectly. I quickly gathered a handful of stones, weeping and still so very angry, feeling completely frustrated and useless. But in the midst of the wind, rain and tears, I suddenly lost my anger. I was so exhausted that I just plonked myself down on the stones and wept even harder. But this time I cried to the Lord. I prayed and leaned heavily on him, and it was almost a physical feeling of being held there on that wet, windy beach. And I found a deep calmness come over me and the surety that all would be well no matter what. Later, when I got back to where I was staying, I began to study Psalm 23 and learned that while I might have felt alone, I was never actually alone, that he's always with me. I tried to explain this to Trev's family, but I could see they did not comprehend what I was saying. From utter despair to total peace in a matter of hours is something rare and beautiful and can only be a gift from God. And I can understand their skeptic response. It was now the middle of November and I had to make some serious decisions. I had taken leave of absence from my work as a prison officer in the Falklands to be with Trev and had been gone since September 2017. I was given as long as I needed, but I had to make a decision. So I decided to resign and sent my letter by email, informing them that I would be back, but only to pack up. In December, I went back, packed up the house, sent personal items to come to UK by sea, sorted the majority of our household items, rented the house out, found a home for our dog, spent precious time with family, blood and spiritual, over Christmas and New Year, and by the middle of January was back in the UK. All of this was only possible by the grace of God and his support. There was a massive improvement in Trev when I next visited him. He'd been moved from Brighton to Chichester. He was sat up, eating, talking, laughing, everything except walking. He was off the dialysis too. That was a miracle in itself. The kidneys don't rejuvenate the way the liver does. But now come the questions. Had I made a massive mistake in what I'd done? Should I have had more faith in the Lord? What if he makes a full recovery and we can go back home? I've just rented the house out for a year, given up my job, given the dog away. Questions and more questions that I took to the Lord. His answer was that while Trev had no further need of dialysis, he only had 18% of one kidney working. Returning to the islands at this time was simply not an option. I had done the right thing. On the day I returned from the Falklands to Chichester, the medical profession had moved Trevor from Chichester up to Midhurst. The rest, as they say, is history. Before leaving you today, I want to share a reading from the Bible that I found just a couple of days ago that fits my situation perfectly. Psalm 42:7 says this: "Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. As the waves of trouble swept over me, so I called on the Lord and he answered." Trev is here with us today, living testimony that God does hear our prayers and answers them according to his will, in his time, not ours.
Hang on there a sec. I'd love it if we can, I don't embarrass you, I'd just love to pray for you guys as well. It's been so good seeing these guys come into the church. We baptized Trevor. And so can we just pray? Is that right? I just think it's a good moment to do that. So yeah, just sort of reach out a hand if you want to towards Trevor and that. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you for this couple, Lord. I thank you for this wonderful testimony. Lord, it's so encouraging, the faith that you've given them. And Lord, that you've brought them here, Lord. We feel so blessed that they've been brought to Grace Church in Midhurst. And clearly your hand was in all of these things. And so, Lord, I want to pray for Trevor. Lord, I pray will you continue to heal him. Lord, will you make him well? And in every way possible. And I pray for them both as a couple, Lord. I pray that you'll just give them a real season of fruitfulness, Lord, for you. And I know how much they love you. And I pray you just continue to work in their lives. And we just thank you for blessing us with them as well. And we just pray that they will be blessed by Grace Church also and by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lovely. Thanks, Brenda. Real. Yeah, keep clapping. It's good, isn't it? It's just really encouraging, isn't it? I love hearing these things. I hope you're feeling encouraged this morning. And next up is Andrew Guyot, and he's going to come and tell us about some things that God has been doing with him. Do you need the mic? Give him a hand. Yeah, give him a clap.
Yeah. I am a fraud. I'm not here to give my testimony. I'm here to give the testimony of a very good friend of mine. And I heard this recently, and it was so good that I thought I would bug you with it. And the character, here we have a character on the left, and this is our friend Frank Short, chap in his 80s. And we've known him 20 years or so. and he's a member of Three Counties Church in Haslemere, where we worshipped for over 20 years. We only came here because God actually gave us a church locally. But I'm still in contact very much with the church. On Saturdays, we have a men's group where we have breakfast together. We study the word, at the moment Genesis, and pray. And this is part of the group here. And I would say about Frank is that he cooks a mean sausage. Good lad. He was born in Portsmouth. He was obviously one of the lads. And in fact, he spent 8 interesting months in Durham at Her Majesty's expense after, I believe, some incident involving bodily harm, etc. So he was a pretty rough guy, and he was also addicted to alcohol. And he also acquired a wife, Jenny, who is a Christian. She must have had a pretty rough time. And they prayed for Frank, and eventually, gloriously, he became a Christian. And he's part of this group. And what I like about it is we sort of get into wonderful red herrings and things. Frank doesn't say much, but when he does, it's very simple, straight down the line, and it really brings us back. What he says, it's straight down that, and he's great. Anyway, about 17, 18 years ago, he ran into kidney failure. We have that again. And his kidneys packed up, and they put him onto dialysis. And he found this was something which he really hated. But eventually, they decided to do a transplant. So they put him on the list, and we prayed for him and all the rest. The trouble with a transplant is that when you're on the list, you normally have to wait months, often years, before one turns up. Poor Frank had to wait 9 days. He got his transplant, thank you very much, Lord, and it worked very well. And so he's had this all these years, as I say, 17 and a half years ago. And then recently it started to fail. And he had some scans in November, and eventually he was called in. He had his appointment to see the consultant, and that was last week, on Tuesday. So this story is not one, a very old one. It's fairly modern. Anyway, he was called in to see the consultant, and she, imagine a lady probably in her 50s or so, and she looks at him and she says, I'd like a private word with you. And he thought, oh no, this is it. And then she says, I just don't understand this. We did this scan on you, and of course the transplant was failing, but those 2 kidneys, they left them in situ, but they were dead. They're working. She said, in all my years in renal work as a consultant, I've never, ever seen anything like this, nor have my colleagues. We've never seen it. We simply can't explain what happened. And now Frank comes up with one of his usual lines. I'm a Christian. And apparently she gave him a very odd look. I think it might be well worth praying that he'll continue to enjoy good health, and for the consultant, that the penny will drop and she'll realize what happened.
Thank you, Andrew. That's fantastic. You know, Andrew told me about this story, and I thought, it's not really about him, but actually it is about Jesus. And actually it's someone that Andrew's very close with and has been praying with. And so I just thought it was a really encouraging story. You know, I mean, there may even be people here who know. I know some people have been to Three Counties. You may even know this guy and he's local. And so I just think it's great, is it, to hear when God does the miraculous, because it's never going to come out in the newspapers, is it? So that we can celebrate it. We can know that God can do these things. So we've got two left to go. And the next one up is Jan James. So give Jan a hand. And she's a bit croaky, she said.
So I've written mine down because I was warned not to go on too long. So. so that's why I've written it. I don't usually write. I usually just chat. but I was listening to a song last week where it said that God's got all the answers, which he has. And I sort of shouted out, this is in the car, so why, God, don't you tell us more if you've got all the answers? And it was sort of getting me a bit sort of frustrated. And I thought, no, I shouldn't be saying that to God. And he said back to me, it's just to allow you to trust me more. So that's why I'm just reading this, because I wrote this yesterday. And it's in two parts. So it's what's gone wrong in 2018, and I don't mean it like what's gone wrong, because everything in God's kingdom, nothing's wasted in God's kingdom. So it hasn't actually gone wrong, but that's how we've seen it. Well, that's how I've seen it. I'm not saying Nigel has as well. So who would have thought this year would have had so many pitfalls? That's in 2018. And yet God has brought me through so many times of anxiety, fear and shock. He is forever faithful. And whatever the enemy meant for evil, God has turned it for good. So at the start of 2018, we had our family from Australia over staying with us over the New Year, Christmas and New Year. Three grandchildren, and they were all excited. There was lots of work to do, and we loved it. And it was a day before, it was the day after Nigel's birthday, on the 13th of January. This was on the 14th. Nigel was taken immediately into hospital with peritonitis and septicemia, and eventually sepsis. He was there on drips, and he was there for a week and recovering very slowly in an ICU unit and on more medication. So I was visiting him every day. The children had to fly back to Australia, so it was goodbyes to them. The house was still on the market, but not sold. So it was very stressful. We changed agents, we dropped the price, no buyers, but people still looking. Nigel home, but not able to do anything really, emotionally, mentally or physically. So the holiday was booked in October. We thought we'd have a break and probably he'd be better by then. So we thought October, we'll have a break. And book a holiday for a week in October. But the day before we were to go to the Canaries in October, Nigel collapsed with a stroke, blood clot on the brain, lost his speech and use of his right arm and hand. He was in hospital for a week again, me visiting him every day, no holiday. But what has gone right this year? Thank you, Lord, it didn't happen on the flight, that Nigel didn't have the stroke on the plane or in a foreign country. It was just amazing that the Lord knew what was coming. I passed my exams and became a qualified counsellor in June. Thank you, God. And thank you to Steve Petch, who encouraged me all along the way to keep going and gave me a reference for the university. So that was really good of him. And that was 4 years ago. So all this was going on, and I was in the middle of dissertations and multiple essays. So then we had, we went to West Point in Devon. That's our Bible week that we go to as a church. And that was lovely, and God spoke to us very much there. So this was before the October, before Nigel had the stroke. This is the things that have gone right, and we celebrated our 33rd anniversary in Dorset. So after Christmas last year, just gone, and the new year, we spent 6 days at Lee Abbey, our special place that we've been there many times in North Devon, where God spoke to us yet again. We haven't understood this year at all, but we do know that God is working out his plans for us to give us a future and a hope. And I just want to read this verse in Lamentations. It's Jeremiah's prayer, really. And I've been reading a lot about God's faithfulness this last week, really. And it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." And I just thank the Lord for his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness over our last year for us. Thank you.
Thanks. Can we pray for you guys as well? Would that be okay? I'm going to pray for you as well. Okay. Yeah, let's do that. Let's pray for Nigel and Jan, and if Nigel's near you there, maybe lay a hand. And yeah, let's just pray again. Father, I thank you for this couple, Lord. I thank you for the faith that they've shown. Lord, thank you that even though things have been tough, they still trust you. Lord, that they know that you're at work. They know that you're good, Lord. They know that life is a battle, but that doesn't undermine the fact that you are altogether good and that you have the best in store for them, Lord, and the best is yet to come. And so, Lord, we just pray over them, Lord. I pray, will you give them what they need, Lord? Help us as a church to support and to get around them. And, Lord, I pray that 2019 will be a wonderful year of just growing in their love for you, Lord, in their affection for you, Lord, and knowing more of your presence in their life. Lord, I pray that there will be real fruitfulness, real blessing over them. Lord, help them with all the plans that you have for them, Lord, things like the house and what to do and all those things, Lord. We just want to give it to you, Lord, put it in your hands, Lord. We want to keep praying for them, Lord, that we see a breakthrough at the right moment, Lord, in the right way. So, Lord, we just lift them to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Brill, thank you. And we've got one left to go from a rather wonderful woman here who's my wife. And so she's going to share, Catherine, this is Catherine Bishop, and I'm sure most of you know her, but she's going to share a little bit about what God's been doing in our life over the last year, and I think there's a little bit where you're going to ask me to say something as well, but I will hand over to you, you can give me the nod.
Okay, so it began back in May, June 2017, where Thomas first broached the idea that we might move up here from, we were down in Bognor Regis, and my initial reaction was, no way, because we've been down in Bognor quite a long time. I had a security in there. I'd always been there, felt committed to the church down there. I started running Little Bears, which is our toddler group, which had been running for just over 4 years, and we were just really starting to see things going and fruitfulness. And I had my own little Bible study. I was getting to know all the school mums and relationships with my own local neighbours, and had loads of a network of babysitters for all our children, and we had grandma just up the road. It was perfect. You know, I didn't want to move from there. So I couldn't talk to anyone about it, so I just prayed. And anyway, it was more around October 2017 that Thomas got a few more prophetic words and really felt stirred and called to come up here. And I think God then started to change my heart, and I really started to say, yep, okay, if you want me to be obedient, I'll do it. So in December, we made the definite decision that we'd move up here, and we came up to look at our house, which is our house now, after putting our Bognor house on the market. And it felt utterly ridiculous, this beautiful house with so much space, gorgeous views, you know, way beyond our budget. It was like, this is never going to happen. And I looked around the house and thought, I don't really like it anyway. So, you know, I'm not going to come up here. It's ridiculous. But anyway, the house sale things were starting to go through. But then we hit a bit of a snag with our finances in that, well, I'll let Thomas explain that a little bit. But basically, it looked like it was going to be, we're going to have a shortfall of money. We weren't going to move. So I'll just pass you over to Thomas to explain what God did in providing for us there.
We were just slightly discussing this last night, but just the gist of it was that we'd worked out how much we could borrow and everything else, and we had about a £15,000 shortfall. The guy who was selling the house was absolutely adamant that he couldn't drop. The people that were buying ours literally couldn't spend more than they were because they had some government scheme, and if they went over the limit, they lost the money. And so we had this gap of £15,000, and so it was like, this is, we'd borrowed and everything else, and we just couldn't close the gap. A few weeks or months before, I'd done one of these PPI claim backs. I just sort of sent it off thinking, so in my former life, before I was a Christian, I just had loads of debts and wild living. I was a proper prodigal son. And so I'd sent off this thing, and I'd had loads of things back saying, no, you didn't have that, you didn't have that. And I'd all these credit cards I had and loans. And just while we were going through this, I suddenly got a letter through saying, we have discovered that you had a NatWest loan, and they were charging you PPI and all of that. So I filled in all the things. And it turned out that loan, I'd refinanced it about 8 times because I kept getting more and more debt. And we started to get these letters through saying, this one was like £27 of PPI you're going to get back because it was all the interest and everything else. Next one was £300. The next one was £1,000. And all of a sudden, we had about £5,500 basically came in letters through the post of all these different things. And it was like, this is fantastic. So we're now about £10,000 short. So we went back to the people and said, look, we're almost there. We can't get more. Is there any way you can come down? And so the people we're buying the house from, they were buying a new build. And the builder said, look, we will give you an extra £5,000. And it was like, right, so now we've got this gap of £5,000. It's like, I don't know how we're going to do this. We just couldn't borrow any more money or anything else. And so we were kind of praying about it and going, look, we just really feel God's going to break into this. Well, down the back of our radiator, we used to keep our post on top of this thing, one of the PPI letters had slipped off the side and gone down the back of the radiator, and you had to sign them and everything to get the money back. Pulled it out, it was £4,500. It was the biggest one of the lot, and we'd missed it, and it had gone down the back. And so if we hadn't, you know, if we'd had that, we probably wouldn't have gone to the people and asked for more off. We'd have tried to find another way, but it's just the way God worked. It was just an amazing thing. I remember at the time sharing it at a prayer meeting, but it was just, it was fun, you know, it's like seeing God, how on earth can you create that money? And it's like he just found a way to do it. So I'll hand back to Catherine to finish the story, but it was a really good moment.
Yeah, so the house sale went through really quickly there, and so we turned around in eight weeks. And but then we had the problem of the schools. So the Midhurst Primary was chock-a-block, and there was no space for any of our girls. We had a look around the schools and actually really liked Esbourne, but there was only place for Ruth. And Rebecca's class had 45 in it already in one class, so there was no way they were going to squeeze in another. So I was thinking, I'm going to have to drive to Esbourne, then take them up, Rebecca up to Stedham, and, oh, it's going to be a nightmare. So anyway, I got loads of people to pray for us, and just committed it to God, because I was like, I don't know, I can't see a way through this. And the day before we moved, we got a letter through, or email, whatever it was, saying that we were going to give place to Rebecca as well, so they're going to put a class of 46 in, and Ruth got a place too, and Miri was at the nursery there. So it was just incredible timing and just great for us. So that was a real answer to prayer again. And then when we moved here, we had all you guys helping us move in. We felt so welcomed and settled, and yeah, God just blessed us with all you guys. And then obviously I had 4 or 5 months of pregnancy left with Peter, which was straightforward, had no problems, whereas previously I've had pelvic pain and everything, and he was born in August, healthy. And then God's just sustained me and us through the last 6 months, which have been absolutely crazy. Just, you know, having 5 children and a newborn, and still can't believe we're here at times, and just looking out our window, and just what an incredible blessing that we're living up here now and getting to know you, and just how many friends I've already made through school and on our road, getting to know the neighbours, and just seeing God beginning to work already in just the short time span we've been here. And just it's just God's faithfulness. And I just wanted to read the verse that's just been so dear to me. That is in Isaiah 40. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And that's Jesus. He's just been right there with us, and he's great.
Thank you, Catherine. So We are sort of out of time. I just wanted to bring like a final kind of clarification to everything that we've heard, and I'll do it as quick as I can. But there were just three things I wanted to draw out of that verse that I said at the beginning. And I hope you've been encouraged by all of this, but you know, I don't know what you're going through at the moment, but I just want to look at what Paul was saying, and I'll do it really quickly. The first thing is this, that it says all things work together for the good of God, for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And it also says, beyond that, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And this is the blessing of God. This is the goodness of God, that when you put your faith in Jesus, actually the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you, and God's purpose in you is to actually conform you to the image of Jesus. And so when we go through these difficult times, they can feel so painful and everything else, but actually God's plan for allowing these things is actually to make us more like Jesus. And as we become more like Jesus, we are blessed through that, and we bless others through that. And so I want to encourage you, when you're going through something, to ask that question: how is this situation going to make me more like Jesus? How do I need to respond to this? Do I run away from God, or do I run to God like Jesus did when he went through all the trials in his life? And then number two, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, Jesus himself knew that when trouble came along, there was nothing outside of his father's control, because God was for him. He knew that he could trust the circumstances and the situations in his life. And he even said this to Pilate, didn't he? Pilate offered him a way out of his crucifixion. And yet, actually, Jesus refused to go that way, because he knew that God's plan and purpose was in a different direction. And so I just want to encourage you as well to remember that God is for us. God is for Jesus. And as we put our faith in Jesus, then he is for us as well. And that's part of his plan. You know, there are two things we need to know, don't we, before we can know that God is for us. And then this, first, you cannot know that God is for you if you don't know God for yourself. That comes out of a relationship. You know, it's not that God works things for good for everyone. It's for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so it begins by putting our faith in Jesus. That is the Christian message, is that we can have a relationship with the Creator, the Father in heaven, through his Son. And that the only way that we can have that relationship is to be perfect and righteous before a holy God. And we cannot do that ourselves. And yet God gives us this wonderful message of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, is that he came, he lived the life that we couldn't live, and he died on a cross and took the punishment that we deserve. And in doing that, we can stand before God, and when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. And so often we think, oh, if I could just be like this, or if maybe God would be happy with me if I did that, or perhaps this bad thing's happening because God's upset with me because I did that thing. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. The Bible says if you put your faith in Jesus, then God sees Jesus when he sees you. He doesn't see your unrighteousness. He doesn't see your sin. He sees Jesus. And so when we trust in him, it's the only way we can come to God. No other religion, no other ideology will work. We have to put our trust in Jesus, because only Jesus gives us the perfection that we need to stand before a holy God. And yet he does that in spite of us. And so you can put your trust in him today. And then finally, it says this: how will he not also, along with him, along with Jesus, who he's given us, graciously give us all things? You know, God gives us his Son. God gives us the most precious thing he had, and that was the person of Jesus. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so we can know, because God has given us Jesus, that he wouldn't withhold anything else from us except that which is not for our best. And so when God allows difficult times to happen, and we think, what are you doing in this, God? We need to know that actually God's given us Jesus. Therefore, whatever we're going through, God has a greater plan and a purpose. And so when difficult times come, our disposition isn't, how have I upset God? Or why is God mad at me? Or all of that. But actually, no, what is God doing in my life to bring about good? How can I respond as Jesus would respond? And so as we finish there, we won't go back to worship, but maybe I'm just going to pray. And I just want to encourage you, there might be two decisions you can make this morning. Maybe you need to accept Jesus. Maybe you've been trying all this time to make God happy with you, or thinking, I just need to be a good person. Actually, you just need to come before God. God, you know what? I'm not a good person. God, I can't do this myself. I need you to do it for me. I want to accept Jesus and say sorry for my sin, and give it to Jesus so that I can have a relationship with you. And you can pray that prayer whenever you want. You can make that decision and you can live that out in your life. And God will give you his Spirit and he will respond to that. But maybe you're already a Christian, as I know a number of us will be this morning. But maybe you need to make that decision to trust God again. Maybe you need to say, do you know what, God, I haven't believed that you've got my best interests at heart. Or I haven't trusted you. Or maybe I've done things out of fear. Maybe I've chosen to avoid adversity because I don't trust you through those times. And I just want to encourage us. Why don't we stand, and I'm just going to pray, and just make your own prayers to God. Whatever it is, let's make this year a year where we press into God. I would love to have 20 testimonies next year where people have heard these stories this morning and stepped out in faith. Said, you know what, I'm going to make this the year that I really trust God. I'm going to make this the year I really get into his word and read my Bible and pray and get stuck into church and see what God will do. So, Father, I just pray for us as a church. Thank you for these wonderful stories this morning. Thank you that you are always at work, Lord. You are always for us, Lord, that you have given us your Son. What a wonderful gift in Jesus we have. And, Lord, I pray, will you make 2019 a fantastic year for Grace Church? Lord, will you move us forward? Will you help us to share this good news of Jesus to the world around us, Lord? I pray you will grow us, Lord, spiritually grow us in maturity, Lord. Help us to trust you more, Lord. Not to live lives of fear, but to live lives full of faith, Lord, that honor you, that walk with you, Lord. And I pray that as we do that together, Lord, help us to encourage one another, to fight the spiritual battles together, to pray for one another, to read your word. And Lord, I pray that you will do wonderful things amongst us, Lord. I thank you for what you've done, and I thank you for what you're going to do. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.